بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وما بعد، الحمد لله، we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Ramadan with good iman, with good health and with free time, and the tawfiq to use that free time to get close to him. The purpose of Ramadan is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is something to keep in mind. Fasting is not for the sake of fasting, it's to get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By worshipping. Kathratul sujood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wasjud waqtarib. Allah said, make sajda and come close to me. So the tool for getting close to Allah is sajda, which of course is directly refers to nawafil and praying, obviously praying all the fard on time, then the sunnah on time, and then of course nawafil. But also it refers to the attitude of sajda in our lives. Right? So what is the meaning of attitude of sajda? What is sajda? Sajda is to submit completely and totally, no defenses, no, within quotes, protection from, and no ability to defend yourself or fight. That is the reason why sajda, the position of sajda, is haram for anyone other than Allah. To put yourself in that position where your head and face is on the ground, your feet and hand are on the ground, where you are completely helpless. If somebody is hitting you from the back, you can't even see the blow. This is not permissible in Islam. Right? This is haram. Only to Allah. Only to Allah do we submit like that and make ourselves completely vulnerable and accept our vulnerability only with Allah. Not for anybody else, right? Not for any sheikh, or not for any religious leader, not for any guru, or not for any king, or not for anybody. Sujood is only for Allah. So the attitude of sajda in our lives means to live a life of complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like in the sajda, you don't ask, why should I put my head on the ground? What? Why should my nose touch? So what if it doesn't touch? Why can't I, move my hand in a different way or put my hand in a feet? No. This is, what is a sajda is 7 points to touch the forehead, the nose, the 2 hands, the 2 knees and the 2 feet. So 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, or if you use this as 1, then 7 points to touch on the ground. This is sujood. So you don't ask why. You say, this is how Allah wants. This is what we do. So therefore, Ramadan comes to reiterate this, that my whole life should be, figuratively speaking, in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ramadan comes to reiterate that and emphasize that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain things halal and Allah made certain things haram. Right? All haram and halal is from Allah alone. Now, which are the things which are halal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tayyibat, all things which are pure and beneficial. Whether it is food, whether it is actions, whether it is sources of earning, sources of spending, kinds of work, right? Everything. There is a halal, which is everything which is beneficial and good. And what is haram? The opposite. Everything which is harmful intrinsically by itself. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something which is harmful, then Allah prohibited that irrespective of quantity. Number one. Two very important things to understand with respect to the haram. One, if something is haram, it is haram irrespective of quantity. So 1 gram is also haram, 1 kilogram is also haram, and so on, right? Pork is haram, 1 gram of pork is haram, the whole pig is haram. Alcohol is haram, 1 drop is haram, the whole barrel is haram, the whole bottle is haram. Right? So it's not, drugs are haram, so 1 smoke is haram, smoking every day is haram, irrespective of quantity, number one. Number two, everything that leads to that haram and everything which is connected with that haram is also prohibited. So alcohol is prohibited, storing it, transporting it, manufacturing it, selling it, right? All of this, having, shares in a liquor company, you might say, well, you know, I have shares in MGM. I don't gamble. I don't go there. I think it is very wrong. I should not have, you know, the people should not do it. But I just have shares. Part of my, and I don't have shares only in that. Part of my portfolio, one of the companies is MGM. Is it halal? No, it's not halal. It's haram. Even I have only one share. That one share is haram. So you must get rid of that, right? And so also, so when something is haram, Allah prohibited that in terms of quantity, irrespective of quantity, and everything to do with it, everything connected with it, concerned with it, leading to it, is haram. Zina is haram. Fornication is haram. That is, sex outside marriage is haram. So everything that has a potential to lead to that, so which is music and dancing and so on, so you might say, well, no, I will never do actual zina. But so what if I, you know, we all get together, we have a party, there's some music and we are dancing. I'm not even touching the girl. I'm, you know, I'm dancing by myself. The girl is dancing. The girl is dancing 5 feet away. No, it's, no, sorry. Because whether you do it or not is not the issue. The issue is that this is something which has the potential of leading to that, to which is haram. So it is prohibited. What about, like in this country? I always get a big laugh for this. Because I am old enough to remember a time when, in the 60s and 70s, people who used to smoke marijuana, and of course other stuff they did, but definitely marijuana, were jailed. And they got long jail sentences. I mean, if you were caught, and they actually targeted also the African-American people, the black people. Anyone was found with even, like, you know, 5 grams or 10 grams of marijuana or whatever, cocaine, jailed. Right? And they got long sentences. Now, Obama comes and he makes recreational use of marijuana permissible. So, my question is, the hippies, what were they doing in marijuana? It was recreational use. I mean, what else were they doing? They were having a pot party. So, was, you know, people in a room sitting and smoking grass. So what was, so how come that suddenly now everything... Now, what about all those people who went to jail? Is the government going to pay them some compensation? They actually asked this question. They said, no, nothing. Those days it was against the law. So, now, not against.
Progressing.
Yeah, progressing. So, but this is, the whole issue is, this is the difference between divine law and man-made laws. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the actual nature of the thing. So, therefore, what Allah prohibits, that prohibition is forever. There's no need to change it because Allah knows the nature of the thing. Human beings, everyone, you know, you have one opinion today, you have another opinion tomorrow. So the attitude of sajda is to bring this into our lives. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made something halal, which are wholesome, which are good, but in Ramadan, for that duration of time from sunrise to sunset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not prohibited us from using even that which is normally halal. Right? The prohibition is for things which are normally halal. So, I mean, wholesome food and water and so on. This is normally halal, but during that period, it becomes haram. So, if somebody says to you, you know, you said that all good things are permitted, so why are we being prevented from eating good things? Because to reiterate and emphasize this principle that good and bad depends on obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is good? That which is obedient to Allah. What is bad? That which is not obedient to Allah. As simple as that, right? So, good and bad is this. That which is obedient and that which is not obedient. That which is not obedient. Just pull this up. So, that is what is being emphasized in Ramadan. That good and bad. Definition of what is good, that which is obedient to Allah. What is bad, that which is not obedient to Allah. As simple as that. This is being reinforced in our lives. So that when we go out of Ramadan, we take this with us. So the thing to remember and which is emphasized for us, I remind myself and you, in Ramadan, if I fasted, And I kept away even from the halal because Allah said so. Simple, there's no other explanation. Why do you do that? Because Allah said so. Because it is the order of Allah. Why did you fast? Because of the order of Allah. So if I stayed away even from the halal because Allah said so, how much more important is it for me to stay away from haram throughout my life? Right? Isn't it? I mean, Allah has ordered. No, you should not deal in interest-based transactions. Haram. Why? Because Allah said so. Just yesterday, one of my friends and me, one of the young entrepreneur from India in a startup, they started the company and they're, you know, they're going well and so on. When he realized suddenly that interest-based banking is not permissible for us, and he left a stake of $1 million in the company, right? Young guy. Inshallah, may Allah give him great barakah, inshallah. But this is the point. The point is, why is he doing that? Because it displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not displease Allah. Now, Ramadan comes to reiterate this. It also comes, therefore, to emphasize and draw our attention to the fact that the most critical, the most important thing always to keep in mind is that one day this life will end. And I will stand before Allah. Irrespective of how this life might end. I'm just talking to one guy, Christian guy, who was raised Roman Catholic, 27 years old, terminal stage 4 cancer, he's dying. So he says, Christianity makes no sense to me. I studied Judaism, that also makes no sense to me. I studied Hinduism, it makes no sense to me. I want to study Islam. So I'm talking to him. Let's see, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance for him and for hidayat for him. But the point I'm making is that whether you die at 27 or you die at 270 or you die at 2700, makes no difference. One day you will die. One day I will die. And then we stand before Allah. And at that time, the only thing which will count is, did I obey Allah or not? Right? Yeah, brother. Now, this is what Ramadan comes to emphasize. And this is what Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned when he, in the famous Hadith Jibreel, when he was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, وَمَا الْإِحْسَانِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is Ihsan, Ya Rasulullah? Nabi ﷺ said, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. He said, which means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And though you don't see Him, you know that He is seeing you. Right? Now, He didn't say only in the salah. He said to worship Allah. But we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anytime anyone asked Him for any definition and so on, any standard, he always used salah as the example to give. Because salah is the peak of the matter, it's the most important thing. But this applies across the board. So therefore, Ramadan comes to remind us that just as you held away from food and drink and relation with your spouse, only because you were aware Allah is watching me. It is eminently possible during Ramadan for a Muslim to fast and then to eat something, drink something, do what he wants. There's no policeman standing, checking you. If you do it, you can do it. But we don't do it. Why? Because we say, no, I'm doing this for Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. And I will not do something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this attitude is what must be carried forward in our lives. That's the purpose of Ramadan. Otherwise, if Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, he said there are people, the only thing they get out of Ramadan is hunger and thirst and sleepless nights. That's it, nothing else. But we don't want to be that, right? You want to have benefit from this. Then benefit will be and can be when Ramadan results in a life change, right? Life change. Then we benefit. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to focus on and to get the real benefits from Ramadan al-Kareem, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.